In the night, I hear him talk, the coldest story ever told. But somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul. To a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless? How could you be so heartless? How could you be so cold as a winter wind when it breezes, yo? Just remember the way you're talking to me, though. I mean to watch the way you're talking to me, though. I mean, after all the things that we've been through, I mean, after all the things that we got into, and now I know some things that you ain't told me. Now I did some things, but that's the old me. Now you wanna give me back or you gon' show me? But you walk around like you don't know me. Well, you got new friends, well, I got homies, but in the end, it's still so lonely. In the night, I hear him talk, the coldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul to a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless? Could you be so dark and evil? You're bringing out a side of me that I don't know. How decided we work or speak so? Why we up 3 a.m. on the phone? Why would she be so mad at me for? Homie, I don't know, she's hot and cold. I don't know, I won't mess my groove up. Already know how this thing goes. Run and tell your friends that you're leaving me. They say they don't say what you see in me. Wait a couple months then you gon' see. You never find nobody better than me. Cause in the night I hear him talk, the coldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road he lost his soul to a woman so heartless. Could you be so heartless? Talking, 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 baby, let's just knock it off. They don't know what we've been through. They don't know about me and you. I got something new to see. You just gon' keep hating me.
We just gon' be enemies.
I know you can't believe it. I could just leave it wrong. And you can't make it right. I'm gon' take off tonight. Into the the coldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul to a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless? In the night, I hear him talk, the coldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul to a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless? How could you be so heartless?
Tune was called Heartless off of the CD Silent Treatment by No Comment, one of the a cappella groups at the University of Illinois, and as you could hear, one of the co-ed, so to speak, a cappella groups. They're going to be among quite a number that are going to be performing this weekend, Saturday specifically, in Tolono at Unity High School, their 8th annual all-out a cappella concert. That has a number of University of Illinois groups, plus one at from Unity itself. You're listening to Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is your connection to local performances, and appreciate your joining us today. We've got two members of No Comment with us for the first part of the show, and also one of the fellows who's involved in organizing the whole event. And then coming up later on the program, I'll be talking with Paul Drescher of the Paul Drescher Ensemble, who are presenting something called Schick Machine, starring percussionist Stephen Schick, at the Kranert Center for the Performing Arts. And that's got an interesting story behind it. It sounds like a really interesting production, so we'll be hearing about that and some sound samples as well coming up later on Live and Local this hour. But first, let me introduce you to Carrie Woolard, who is has been involved for a while, and we'll maybe let him say just how long with this all-out a cappella show, the eighth annual, as I said. I don't know how many years, Carrie, you've been
organizing
and marketing.
Since the very beginning. My wife and I helped organize it along with the Unity Music Boosters the very first year. It went in. So we've been involved since the start.
And you got involved through
through the Unity Music Boosters. We were involved and members of the Boosters, and we were looking for a way to raise funds to support music at the schools. And we had my wife and I had seen several of the groups on campus. We invited them down to do a little show. And that's how it all began. We worked closely with the groups here, and they've been extremely helpful all through this process.
Is a cappella something that you or she personally were interested in before?
We both have been interested in it. I happened to sing in a group in town, a local barbershop group many years ago that you and I first met through. And my wife actually originally came to the University of Illinois as a music major, but then switched to advertising.
What was her role in music when she
She was a vocal performer.
Vocal performer. So did she ever do a cappella stuff?
No, just in some high school groups and things like that, but never as a organized a cappella group.
And since barbershoppers, what have you been doing vocally? Anything?
Vocally, the occasional singing at church, the occasional singing at weddings and things like that, but for the last few years, not a whole lot.
The event on Saturday, there's two performances of it. I know sometimes you've had different groups at the different performances. Will the two shows be the same? There's something
year,
to choose between them?
This year, the groups are the same, as which is the first year we've done this where we've had two shows and the groups the same. The difference will be on the second show, we're sort of turning it over to the college groups here. A couple of the groups have volunteered to actually host, do the emceeing in between, and it gives a little more relaxed atmosphere than a little bit more structured that we have in the first show. And some more surprises happen usually in the second show because of that.
So who's doing the emceeing and creating the structure at the first one?
Well, the first one, we have Diane Ducey, our local radio announcer at one of the stations here in town, and also Unity graduate, who's going to be doing the emceeing for that.
Unity High School has obviously at least one a cappella group right now called Surreal Sound.
Surreal Sound, yes. And this is actually the second year of Surreal Sound being in existence. It is actually a class in the school. After several years of having this concert, the students fell in love with it and wanted to pursue it further and convinced administration to put it in as part of a curriculum item.
So there was no a cappella at Unity before?
No class. They did some after-school extracurricular. We had a men's group for a while and also girls, but nothing as a structured class in a school system.
So is this the only group that's there?
Right now, this is the other group, the only group that's there. Like the college groups and high school groups, every year you get students who graduate, new students who come in, and right now looking to pick up a couple more. We have some young guys coming up that we hope to get involved with the group in the next couple years.
Young guys?
Mm-hmm. For a guys group. The girls group seems to keep building every year.
So I probably missed this. Surreal Sound is a girls group?
Girls group.
And I know at the university there are, at least a couple of girls groups. I guess let me introduce the two University of Illinois students who are with us, both members of No Comment, which is mixed men and women. And we have Dirk Maloney. I guess your role is kind of marketer, business manager for No Comment?
Yeah, officially it's the business manager. And what I say in interviews is I act as the booking agent. So I'm the one in charge of booking the group to perform either at companies or charity events, school events, a cappella shows, you name it.
So things like this.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also my job to deal with university logistics and deal with internal scheduling conflicts.
And what is your singing role in the group?
I'm the bass of the group, so I'm the one with the lowest range.
The bass?
Yes.
Meaning everybody else who sings lower is a baritone?
Lower relatively, yeah. I think we're having some members that are starting to dabble in covering some of my parts or helping me, you know, with volume. But yeah, I'm
you're
generally the bass.
Yeah. You're it. And then Kelsey, I started to write down your last name and then I forgot.
It's Stanker.
Stanker, okay. And your role in the group, both singing and otherwise?
Well, I'm the group's music director. So basically I'm in charge of our rehearsals, our set list, our arrangements, everything like that. And as my singing role in the group, just kind of whatever we need to fill in for the girls, whether it's a soprano, usually more of a mezzo or an alto, though.
Does that mean that you're particularly strong at reading that reading music? That often is true for switch hitters, so to speak, who end up in the alto part.
Yeah, I'm actually one of those music nerds that enjoys sight reading. So, yeah, that's one of my strong suits. As a music major, it kind of has to be, but and as our music director. So, yeah.
I know I've asked this of other campus a cappella groups. How did you get nominated or elected to be the music director?
Basically, for all of the exec positions, the business manager, music director, and our treasurer, we have elections where you'll have to put in your intent as far as what you'd like to run for, and then you formally address the group with a speech. They are there to kind of ask you questions about what you have in mind for the group, what you would do differently or mm-hmm. add to it, and it's very democratic. We vote as a group, and you know, based on what the group decides, that's who's in charge of specific roles for the next year.
So one presumes that the group knew about your background and your skills and so on. What year are you, Kelsey?
I'm a senior.
You're a senior. And Dirk?
Sophomore.
A sophomore. Oh, so you've got...
I've got some time.
You've got some time. Does that mean that, you know, as a business manager, somebody sort of stuck it to you to get this job early on? Or is that a plum that people aspire to?
I definitely aspired to it. I became interested in the position around the end of my first semester as a freshman. I knew I wanted to step up in leadership, especially if I'm putting so much time into the group. I wanted to, you know, have a say in things, how things are going, and kind of contribute more. So I'm interested in staying in the position as long as I'm in the group, and I'm enjoying it so far, and at least I hope I'm doing a decent job. So,
there's at least one other. I keep using the term co-ed. That's not even what you call it anymore.
Yeah.
Or do you?
Yeah,
I guess. Or else mixed a cappella, as opposed to all male or all female. There's at least one other on campus, isn't there?
Yeah, No Strings Attached is the main other one, and they're mostly focused on vocal jazz rather than pop. And
yeah, a lot of their arrangements will, they'll be pop arrangements or mainstream like rock or something like that, but then there'll be a jazz twist.
Right.
Yours, on the other hand, is more
mainstream
pop,
yeah,
I think,
for the most part.
Well, which gives me a chance actually to say that on tomorrow's Live and Local, we'll, part of what we'll be talking about is a vocal jazz festival that's happening at Millikan University on Saturday. And we'll be hearing a little bit from their premier group called One Voice, premier vocal jazz group. But that's just an aside. That'll be on tomorrow's Live and Local, as well as some excerpts from the production that Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is doing of Les Miserables. We'll be having some live singers in our studio about that tomorrow at 4. Carrie Woolard was telling me that No Comment recently done pretty well in some competitions.
Yes.
But he didn't give me details.
Basically, we had ICCA, which is the big a cappella competition. What was it now? 2 weekends ago, I guess.
Yeah.
February 2nd at ISU. And we were lucky enough to walk away with first place, as well as outstanding soloist and best choreography
for our entire set, which was really cool.
Yeah. So it was a very, very successful weekend for us.
Congratulations. Was this all types of a cappella groups? Was it all mixed a cappella or what?
It's all types. I don't know the exact numbers, but there's a couple all guys groups. There's a number of all girls groups. And I think, were we the only co-ed, or were there two?
There were two mixed, at least four all female, and one all male. I think only the extension chords.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was eight groups. I don't remember the logistics completely, but two or three mixed, and then all girl, and one all male.
And the tracks you sent me earlier today, were they part of your submission to get into this, or are they part of another event?
Yeah, those are actually the three. In order to be a part of ICCA, you have to actually kind of audition. And those were the three tracks that we had recorded earlier in the semester that actually got us into the competition.
Well, let's give a listen to one of them. And I think the one I've got queued up here is called Breathe Again. Should I know this song? Is this one that people who know pop music would know?
Probably not. This is actually my personal idol, Sarah Bareilles, and this is the song that helped us take home Best Soloist. But it's one of her newer, more soulful ballads. So,
are you being modest by any chance? Were you the best soloist?
Yes.
So this will be you featured in here?
Yes.
All right. Kelsey Stanker.
Stanker. Close enough.
I can't read my own writing. This time I did write it down. In fact, I can't even. This doesn't look anything like what I wrote down. I'll fix it while we're listening here. This is No Comment, the group from University of Illinois. They're going to be, along with Extension Cords, Rip Cords, No Strings Attached, and Unity High School's own Surreal Sound a cappella group, going to be participating in the All Out a cappella shows at 5 and 8 p.m. at Unity High School in Tolono on Saturday. That was a live recording by No Comment from the University of Illinois. Breathe Again, the name of the song. And who did that originally?
The original artist is Sarah Bareilles.
Oh, yeah. She seems to be kind of popular among a cappella groups for some reason.
Yeah, her music's, she only has a couple of really big hits, but they tend to translate very well for a cappella arrangements.
Well, that brings up a question. At least I think it's a good question. How do you determine what translates well for a cappella?
It's kind of an interesting process. Basically, you just have to listen to it and, you know, kind of say whether or not you can hear it as an a cappella arrangement based on what the instruments in the back are, which ones are being used, if there's enough in the chords behind it to kind of back up an arrangement, and just kind of go from there. Mm-hmm. So,
and are you responsible for arranging it as the music director?
Yeah, that's one of my main responsibilities. I've been very lucky this year. A lot of people in the group have taken an interest in it. So people from all levels have been, you know, giving me their stuff to check over or to work on them with. So it's been really nice just seeing other people's ideas so we can bounce stuff off of each other.
Does the whole group have to approve arrangements?
Kinda. We do at least at the beginning of the year. Sometimes Every semester we do a song pick day. So we like to make sure that everybody has a bit of a say in what songs are picked. But I think ultimately a lot of the decision-making process goes to Kelsey, just because she's the one that's in charge of making the arrangements. And she'll see, okay, you know, I know a lot of people want to do this song, but I don't really see it working. We need this kind of song in our set or something like that.
But once the songs are chosen, you know, maybe the vote says choose from this pool or something. But as far as the arrangements go, you have sort of the last say on that, Kelsey?
Yeah, pretty much. Because when we do our song pick day, it's kind of based on what we think will give us a well-rounded set. So we're not walking in with exclusively, you know, top 40 or exclusively musical theater or something of that nature. So, but at the end of the day, you know, if I'm working on arrangement and it just doesn't translate, or if there's a song that comes out, you know, a week ago and I've think it'll be really popular and it'll work really well with a group, it's obviously can get added into the mix very easily. So
you do try to choose, what is the range of types of music that you try to choose from? You mentioned two.
Oh
types.
Boy. Yeah, we have a bunch. We've done some oldies. We had Whitney Houston's Dance with Somebody that we just competed with. We have, you know, our pop selection. We have a musical theater medley. Our next song is going to be a country song. You know, we just did an electronic dance music type of song that actually got us a lot of publicity. So we just do whatever we can, whatever we think will work, and appeal to a really broad audience.
What kind of publicity?
So the songs is Clarity by Zed. And Zed, a lot of kids our age will know who Zed is. It's a song you'll hear at the bars on campus or whatever. But we did the arrangement at ICCA. It was our closer. Went over really well. We even had a drop and had a bit of a dubstep part that was pretty fun.
A drop.
You'd kind of, I don't know if there's a way to explain what a drop is. It's where, like, the music kind of stops, and then it's, like, there's some... And it just, like, there's a pause, and then it gets into, like, a really intense part of the song. Mm. But anybody that listens to dubstep knows exactly what I'm talking about. But the artist caught wind of this a day after we posted it on our YouTube site. And he said something to the extent of, oh, my gosh, this is so amazing. You have to watch this now, like, partially in caps. And in that one day, we went from maybe a couple hundred hits to 27,000.
Wow.
And now we're at like 40,000 and counting or something. So it's really been a cool experience.
I wonder how often our artist picks up on something like that. Usually you hear, I mean, what I have thought you were going to say was, and then he sued you.
Yeah, we usually tend to get some slack cut to us. I don't know exactly where those lines are drawn, but.
Well, I mean, I was going to ask, but I guess you don't know. I mean, what are the rules for you to pick up some famous song and do what you want with it?
I think most of it is, you know, get pretty loosely structured as far as that, especially because in order for all of this to kind of happen, you have to arrange it yourself. So even though you're taking something that's already been written by another artist, you have to kind of transform it and turn it into something that'll work with a completely different set of voices and instruments and, you know, oftentimes is a very different from the original. A lot of things that are in Clarity or some of our other pieces are completely strayed from the original and not included. So I think it's kind of lax as far as that goes, especially because a lot of artists, like, you know, we were talking earlier about Sarah Bareilles, are very, very behind college a cappella because it's where they got a lot of their start. So
We're talking with two members of No Comment, the mixed a cappella group from the University of Illinois, one of two mixed a cappella groups. And they are Kelsey Stanker, who is the music director, and Dirk Maloney, who who is the business manager. And No Comment will be singing at the 8th Annual All Out A Cappella Concerts happening at Unity High School in Tolono Saturday. Two shows, 5 and 8 p.m. As I mentioned earlier, extension cords, rip cords. Extension cords are all male. Rip cords are all female. No strings attached to the other mixed group on campus. All going to be participating. Unity High School's female a cappella group called Surreal Sound. And Carrie Woolard, who is has been organizing this with his wife Bonnie and also publicizing the event. You mentioned while we were just listening to the last song that there's another group that is returning from last year.
That's right. We've had a return group, a group called Prairie Blend. They are a local barbershop quartet, and they sang with us last year, and I talked to them, and they'd love to come back, so they're coming back this year.
So they'll be on both shows as well.
They'll be on both shows.
So that's a different type of a cappella, not usually represented on these kinds of shows.
That's right. One of the efforts we've tried to make ever since the very beginning on this is showing children, both the high school and the young kids, that when they graduate from high school, they can take the music and grow with it, not have to make it a profession, but continue. Even in college, after college, in their profession, they can find outlets to still participate in music without being at their main goal or their main drive.
Okay, and if you want tickets, you can get them online if you want. The website is unitymusicboosters.org. I presume you can get them at the door.
Yes, we should have some tickets at the door, although ticket sales have picked up quite a bit this week, but we should still have some at the door.
And all proceeds will go toward enhancing the music in the Unit 7 schools.
That is correct.
Courtesy of Unity Music Boosters.
Over the last, since the beginning of this, we've raised over $28,000, and part of that goes to, well, all of it goes to supporting music programs, but we've done over 120 scholarships to summer music programs or summer music camps. We've helped provide instruments when the school district wasn't able to do it. The instructors come to us, and we see what we can do, provide arrangements and many different things with this money.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on the success so far, and I'm sure you'll add to the pile after Saturday's shows. Carrie and Kelsey and Dirk, thanks very much for coming in. Let's go out with another song by No Comment. This is also another one that they recorded live. And I thought, since this is Valentine's Day, we have to have one with a title like What Makes You Beautiful, right? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
No Comment, essentially live here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
One, two, three, four. Jen. Jump.
It's called What Makes You Beautiful, a performance by No Comment, the University of Illinois a cappella group, who will be participating in the All Out a cappella concert at Unity High School in Tolono on Saturday. Two performances, 5 and 8. For more information, go to unitymusicboosters.org. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And coming up in, well, just a moment, I'll be talking with Paul Drescher of the Paul Drescher Ensemble, and they're going to be presenting something called Chic Machine, which tells you everything and nothing about what the show is. And that's going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana tomorrow. More in just a moment after I tell you that tonight at 7 o'clock on the FM 90.9 Evening Concert, it's a classical Valentine's Day, love themes and romantic music. It's the world's most beautiful music for your Valentine's Day evening activities, like the Romeo and Juliet Fantasy Overture by Tchaikovsky, love themes from the movies and opera, and Rachmaninoff's Sensual Second Piano Concerto. A classical Valentine's Day, love themes and romantic music tonight at 7 on the Evening Concert right here on FM 90.9. By the way, nobody has told me that I can't say this, but since it's actually true, I might as well tell you that today is the first day that FM 90.9 is streaming our programs on the web. We're very excited about it. So if you don't always have access to a radio at the time you might like to listen to either this show or any other show, you can now find us at our web address, which is will.illinois.edu, W-I-L.illinois.edu. That's always been the web address. It's a brand new website, too. We'll be interested in your feedback and certainly be glad to have you listen to all of our shows. And with me is Paul Drescher. Paul Drescher wears multiple hats in reference to the Paul Drescher Ensemble. You would presume that he's the founder with a name like that. He's also a composer. He is an instrument inventor and builder. And that is, I suppose, the most, well, those two are the important elements having to do with Chic Machine. Stephen Chic is the namesake. He is the performer. And anything else I say will probably be inadequate. So I will let him say the rest about what this show is about. But Paul, thanks very much for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we get to Chic Machine, Paul Drescher Ensemble has, my impression was, a number of impetuses for getting it started. Why don't you talk about that in general?
Well, I'm a composer. That's the core sort of artistic practice that I practice regularly. But early on in my professional life, in the early 1980s, I got involved in collaboratively created projects, which usually involved opera singers, visual media, theater, performance art. There was a whole cauldron of sort of breaking down of disciplines in the early 1980s. And it turns out that I'm a very skilled collaborator. I love working with artists from other disciplines. And so I got involved in making large-scale works that were based in music, but they weren't traditionally like an opera because they weren't just about beautiful singing and beautiful music. And they involved oftentimes complicated visual media, working with projection artists, with scenic designers and writers and texts. And so as a composer, I found that this was a wonderful way to, a different way than concert music, an additional way than concert music, to explore what music can do. So as a composer, I'm interested in all the different ways music can be sort of, different ways music can be applied to performance. So I still do concert music, and the Paul Drescher Ensemble, I think the last time I was here was with a concert with my group called the Electroacoustic Band, which is a 7-member group, and we were here with a pretty well-known composer, pianist named Terry Riley.
Oh, yeah.
And we did a concert where my group had commissioned Terry Riley to write a piano concerto for Terry as the soloist and my band, the Electroacoustic Band, as the orchestra. And I think we brought that here to the Krannert Center in 2002, I think was the last time we were here. And prior to that, I'd been at the Krannert Center with the Margot Jenkins Dance Company a couple of times, performing live scores that my group did with the choreographer. And we brought some music theater projects, too. I think we brought Slow Fire here quite a long time ago. And so the Paul Drescher Ensemble is, as you implied, a kind of multifaceted sort of organization that does concerts. We commission other composers. We don't just do my work. About a third of our repertoire is composed by me, but two-thirds of it is by other composers, like people like Terry Riley, or composers that you may or may not have heard of. Sebastian Currier is a composer from New York that we're just in the process of commissioning. Yves Baglarian, John Adams, who is, of course, well-known, although well-known mostly for orchestra music and less so for electroacoustic music, although he's very adept at that as well. So that's concert music, and then we do these unusual collaborative projects. We usually have two or three collaborative projects that tour at any given time, and Schick Machine is the most important one that we're doing right now. And that one grew out of a project that I had done in 2001. I premiered a project called Soundstage, and one of the hats that you said that I wear is as an instrument builder and inventor. And I started inventing musical instruments when I was in high school, and the instruments I built in high school were first kind of like fantastical versions of conventional instruments like guitars or world music instruments like a sitar and things like that. But I would make them in different shapes. And they had a kind of theatrical impact that I found fascinating, that people were fascinated by invented instruments, even if they were just sort of like a guitar, but it had a completely different shape. And then after I'd worked in sort of doing extrapolations of conventional instruments, then I started to invent new versions of things in the 70s, and like making things that were related to percussion orchestras, like from Indonesia, the gamelan orchestra. I started building American versions of gamelan orchestras. And that's where I met one of my main collaborators named Daniel Schmidt. And we had built gamelans together in the 1970s. And then through the 80s and 90s, I got mostly interested in electronic media and invented instruments that used electronics. But by the late 90s, I got bored with that. And I said, well, I'd like to see what would happen if I returned to inventing acoustic instruments, but I used my pretty substantial experience by that point in opera and music theater. And one of the things I'd learned was that if you make things big, if you change the scale of things, it has a very different dramatic impact. So if something is really big on stage, it has a kind of almost inevitable impact on an audience in a different way than if something is small. Of course, we have a joke. There's the joke from Spinal Tap, the movie, with the, you know, where they got the difference between Stonehenge being 10 inches tall or 10 feet tall. And so they had a model of Stonehenge that they made in inches. And of course, it looks silly. If they'd made a model of Stonehenge that filled the whole stage, that would have been dramatic. So taking that idea, I said, I'm going to make my instruments very large. I'm going to change the paradigm. Instead of an instrument being held by the performer, let's make the instrument big enough to hold the performer. Instead of the performer holding the instrument holds the performer. And so one of the instruments that I built was an instrument called the quadricord, and it had 15-foot-long strings. And multiple people can play it at one time. You can climb over it, around it. It's a whole choreography of playing it because the scale of it is so large. We made a whole music theater piece that we called Soundstage, and because the whole stage was sounding objects. Everything on the stage was made a sound. And sometimes you didn't think that it would make sound, but the performer then revealed what it was.
So musical instrument doubling as jungle gym.
Jungle gym and sculpture. You know, these are very, and so the visual quality of the sound is a very important part of it. So,
and theatrical set.
And theatrical set, exactly. Yeah. So it was a kind of a hybrid. The iconic part of that project was this giant A-frame structure that went about 17 feet tall, and it was about 14 feet long at the base, 17 feet tall, and about 5 feet wide. And attached to the top, the apex of the A of the A-frame, was an axle upon which swung two very big pendulums. So you could think of it as kind of a giant metronome. It marked time, because, of course, a pendulum, that's what a pendulum does. A pendulum marks time. And what I did is then I built special stringed instruments and percussion instruments that if you actuated along the pendulum, there was a way to mechanically turn on and off a mallet or a plucking instrument. So that as the pendulum swept back and forth slowly, because it's so large, it would play the strings on harps or it would play percussion instruments. And there were some very elaborate contraptions that made it possible to create variety, so it didn't do the same thing all the time.
Do we happen to have, I mean, I know you brought a CD here that I have queued up. Does this involve the instrument?
Yes, it does. In fact, the instrument that I described earlier, the 15-foot long strings, that's an instrument that we have queued up right now.
So quadricord and marimba lumina.
The marimba lumina is an electronic instrument that controls. It's a controller, so it looks like a marimba, but it has mallets that are read by the control surface. And it sends electronic music data to sample the playback electronic sounds that can be any sounds that the composer or the performer programs to be triggered by the mallet percussion gesture. And so what we're going to hear here is you're going to hear the quadrichord. Most of the sound we hear is the quadrichord, but the marimba lumina is playing digital samples of the quadrichord. So there's a kind of cross-pollination between the acoustic realm and the electronic realm.
Feeding the instrument back on itself.
Exactly, yeah.
More or less.
And, because when you manipulate a sound electronically, you can sort of explore that sound in different ways than you could necessarily by doing it just by live performance alone. You can pitch the sound much higher, much lower, and it takes on different characteristics. It's almost like putting a microscope on a sound, and you can focus in on certain aspects. And then, so some of the things that the marimba lumina is doing is taking sounds that we recorded from the quadrichord and then manipulating them so that we hear a different aspect of the sound.
Do you want to, is it worth saying anything about the piece itself?
Sure.
This is
a score that was created out of essentially the material that came from the music theater piece Soundstage. So this piece is called In the Nameless, and it it is made up of several parts. We're only going to hear the last part, the ending section. And the other thing I should mention about this particular cut is that we use live looping. So I digitally record what I perform on the quadrichord, which is a stringed instrument, and then I layer sounds up. So you will hear first a rhythmic groove that gradually has multiple layers added on top of it. And that's all done in live performance. So this is essentially as a live performance, but done by two people.
And you're among the people.
I am the quadrichord player, and my longtime collaborator, Joel DeVell, is the percussionist.
This is from Paul Drescher's CD called Cage Machine. In the Nameless is the name of the work. And this is what the...
This is called Delta Clave.
Movement from it, I guess.
It's the fifth, I think it's the fifth section. And
one, two, three, four. Yeah, something like
And it's
five,
called
six.
Delta Clave. And the reason... Clave is a rhythm that comes from Afro-Caribbean music. And I've kind of sort of used that rhythm as the core of this. And then I'm using a metal slide on the strings in one of the parts. And so, of course, Delta Blues is where the slide guitar comes from. And so I just called it Delta Clave, just because it was a reference that's sort of two of its roots.
Let's give a listen. That is from a piece called In the Nameless from 2002 by Paul Drescher, and the specific section or movement called Delta Clave for quadrichord and marimba lumina, quadrichorded in one of Paul's inventions. And Paul Drescher is of the Paul Drescher Ensemble, who are presenting Schick Machine at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow night, starring Stephen Schick, both performer and as percussionist. Performer meaning theatrical performer, percussionist because he plays these monstrous inventions of Paul's, including things like the hurdy-grande, the tumbler, the peacock, the field of flowers, and a deconstructed pipe organ. What do some of these things mean?
Well, hurdy-grande is a distant relative of the hurdy-gurdy. Of course, the medieval folk instrument that still exists in folk culture in various parts of Europe today, what's salient feature is that it has a hand crank turning a wooden wheel that bows the strings. So it is about the scale of a lute or a guitar, but it has an arch back like a lute. But because of a hand crank and the wheel, it's a bowed string instrument. Now, it has other features that like it has frets and mechanical keyboard, which is not a part of it what we used. I was interested from hearing a hurdy-gurdy and seeing it performed. I asked the question, well, what happened if we tried to mechanically bow strings, but on a much larger scale? So our instrument has strings that are about 10 feet long. And because it's a modern era now, we put an electric motor on the wheel with a variable speed motor. And so we can control the motor We don't have to. We can use both hands on the instrument, so we don't have to use the hand crank as the way to make the sound. And so that makes possible a lot of different things that can't be done in a traditional hurdy-gurdy. And we also changed the basic technique of a hurdy-gurdy, which usually has the string always in contact with the wheel. And so it's kind of a drone instrument. In our instrument, the strings float above the wheel and the hands push them down. And so you actually can play polyphonically and polyrhythmically on the instrument by sort of a combination of guitar technique and piano technique on this on the seven strings of our instrument. It's a little hard to describe, but it's fascinating to see Steve do it because while he's a percussionist, he has such precise rhythmic articulation of his hands and an ability to make sound out of almost anything, so that he has a very musically rhythmic, complicated way to make this big contraption on stage make a very rich music. We use a similar live looping technique on that instrument in the course of the piece. So he builds up one layer, then he builds up the next layer, and it's a composed set of different parts that have, you know, high parts, fast rhythmic parts, slower bass lines, and things like that.
So apart from the drama of seeing a skilled percussionist play these really large set pieces that happen to be musical instruments and are highly unusual and that sound interesting and so on, what makes this a theater piece?
Well, if you just had a series of bizarre or unusual musical instruments, there's an inherent drama in the moment of seeing how is this played. But we felt like, and because my collaborators are all experienced artists in the theater, we wanted to tie it all together in a larger form. And we really wanted to address what Steve likes to call the id of a percussionist, which is basically experimentation. And a percussionist, well, there's a very specific technique for playing the violin, for singing bel canto, for playing almost any conventional instrument. Percussionists have to be incredibly adept at adapting to different sounds, different responses, different kinds of materials. So most percussionists, they don't just strike things. They have to learn how to bow cymbals and vibraphones. They have to learn often how to blow on things. They have to use their voice frequently and other parts of their body. Of course, hand clapping. And so Steve is probably one of the preeminently versatile artists that I've ever worked with, that he can make sound out of anything. You could give him a Coke bottle and a spoon, and he would come up with probably a dozen different sounds that would be completely unique that he could use to create variation and create an improvisation that might last 5 minutes without ever repeating itself. And so a percussionist is one of the musicians who's inherently oriented to exploring what sounds can this object make. And sometimes that object is a simple thing like a Coke bottle or a bell that you think, well, a bell is just a bell, it does one thing. But with Steve's hands and mouth, it can do many things beyond that. And so there's a section where he's playing something simple. Then there's a section where he's playing the hurdy-gurdy or this deconstructed pipe organ, which is not played with a keyboard, but in fact played with mallets and with a contraption that we invented that is more like a music box. So it's a 5-foot-long cylinder that spins slowly that you place metal magnets on, and as those magnets pass under a metal tine, it closes a circuit like a key would on an electronic keyboard, and it opens a valve for the pipe organ. So you hear a pipe organ, and the pipe organ is on stage. You see all the organ pipes, but you don't see it played in any conventional way. And that was part of our goal, to transform a very conventional instrument into something that's completely unconventional, both in its look and its method of playing.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating piece, and you can actually find some video clips of this.
This is a very good video of excerpts of the show, yes.
You can find them on the Krannert Center website. I'm pretty sure you can access Paul Drescher's website through there where you can
YouTube
get to the
video. is a very good source. If you go to YouTube and put in Schick Machine, S-C-H-I-C-K, Machine, you will see a variety of choices because a number of videos were produced by different venues, and some of us were interviewed about the creative process. But if you look at just for Schick Machine, Mondavi Center was where the Mondavi Center was where we did the premiere of the piece, of the final version of the piece. And there's a very good, about a 12-minute excerpt of the video, of the whole show on that site. And, as I said before we started, I'm reluctant to play the music from the show because the music is always heard in congruency with the visual, with the large-scale instrument and the way it's played. And it's, that is the theater, to some extent, is the drama of what is this physical object, how is it actually played, and then what's the sound that we hear. Now, we've also tied it together with a dramatic character. And so Steve plays a character, and you follow his own sort of development as a character over the course of the 70-some minutes of the performance.
Stephen Schick, starring, so to speak, in Schick Machine. Paul Drescher's inventions are on stage, and he also wrote the music. So it's billed as the Paul Drescher Ensemble production of Schick Machine. The ensemble in this case meaning all kinds of people who are involved in putting it together. It's going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow night, 7:30 show. That's in Urbana. And Paul, thanks very much for joining us and letting us know about it.
Been a pleasure to be here.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. On tomorrow's program, we'll be hearing excerpts from Les Miserables, performed live in our studio by cast members who are going to be doing it at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. Also a conversation with Steve Wiedenhofer, who is director of the vocal jazz group One Voice at Millikan University in Decatur. They're Millikan's vocal jazz festival. With 25-some high school and college vocal jazz groups is going to be happening all day on Saturday. And it's free, and people are welcome to join in. We'll be hearing about that on tomorrow's program as well, from 4 to 5, live and local. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with Translator, W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And we expect a cloudy sky tonight. There's actually a 40% chance of snow. The low temperature 28. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with scattered flurries and a high temperature around 35. Current temperature is 39 degrees. It's just about 5 o'clock.